Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Saturday, September 14th, 2019. I am John Abaya. And joining me today is my zombie
friend. I'm Jordy Ship.
Oh, sorry. So this is awkward, but it's our first time meeting each other here on the episode. But joining me is Jordy Shepherd. Hello.
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 I'm Jordy Shepherd.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll introduce you. Oh, it's okay. but yeah. So if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss the things we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week. And we usually begin the episode with a trailer talk. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the premiere of the third season, I can say, of We're Live. And it's called Gold Rush. That's correct, right, Jordy?
Yeah, I would call it the third series. But everything else, no, you got it right.
Yes. So.
You didn't actually, yeah.
What was it?
I was going to say you didn't accidentally call it lockdown, so
oh,
we're
yes,
good.
Oh, yes. That's the second series, yes. So. If you're wondering who is Jordy, I met you on the Weird Live forums or Twitter, one of those, but because you were really good with art, and I saw your art, and I was really like, oh.
I think it was Twitter.
Twitter? Okay, yes. And then I don't really know, like, the first interaction with you, but it was through your art, basically. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is really cool and amazing. And I saw, like, all the different portraits you did. Some of them are explicit, especially on a certain website.
Oh boy!
Yes, but it was We're Live related, and then I really liked. I think it was season the first year. You did like a really cool was it not mural, but it was like a like all the cast. Well, I guess it's a mirror, right? Like with all the cast, right?
Maybe. I can't figure out which one you're talking about.
It was like one I see.
It could be a number of things.
Yes. It was one when they released something, like something related to the first series. And then I can't find it off the top of my head. I'm like looking through your Twitter thing right now. I can't find it. But I remember just watching it, seeing it.
Was it from one of the anniversaries? Was it like, oh, it's We're Alive Day again?
Yes.
Okay, I know exactly the one you're talking about. We're all just sitting on boxes and barrels.
Yeah, and that's like the one, the biggest, not biggest, but like you usually do like a couple of people. And then this is like the one you had like a cast of characters. I'm like, that's really cool. I'll try to find that and try to retweet that. But it's somewhere in your feed. But
it's on my art blog. I can send it to you.
Okay, cool. But thank you for joining me for this episode. We can go into trailer.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I think there's a small lag in our conversation. But
there
it's
definitely
okay.
Is. I have to lean in close to hear you.
Yes.
We're getting through it.
Yeah, on my side, it's all the volumes are up. So I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. So it's okay. Like we can.
Yeah, I know. All my audio is jacked up too.
It's okay, because I have a mixer, but sometimes it's wonky, and then I have a Mac, and the Mac is a really old Mac. It's not even like a new one, and it's like constantly asking me to update all the programs. It's like, ah, I don't know which one to update and which one is actually going to work. So right now we're just puling through with this one, but yeah, we can move on.
Just throwing spaghetti at the wall right yes, now.
We don't need to talk about anything
technical. Yeah,
let's
talk
now
about this trailer.
Yes. So this week's trailer is a new zombie movie called Little Monsters.
Warning: this movie contains flesh-eating zombies, assault with a deadly guitar. Strong language.
Fuck, douchebag.
Stop fucking swearing.
Firearms. Disembowelment. Death metal. Gore. Mika Ungalan. And Academy Award winner Lupita Nyong'o.
That might be a little much for everyone.
That was a clip from the trailer of Little Monsters. The movie is starring Lupita Nyong'o. I think I'm saying her name right. Alexander England, Kate Stewart, Diesel La Toraca, and Josh Gad. And it's directed by Abe Forsythe. I'm not 100% sure I'm saying that name right. Sorry. And the movie is about, on IMDb, the synopsis is, a washed up musician teams up with a teacher and kids show personality to protect young children from a sudden outbreak of zombies. So you can tell why I picked this trailer, because we're talking about zombies in the main discussion. So I just want to like tie it in all together. So Jordy, are you a fan of zombies? And if so, do you like comedy with it?
How could you tell? That's a big assumption from you, sir. Yes, I am a huge fan of zombies, but I'm also very particular about the zombie media I consume. And I really, really liked this trailer.
What do you like about it?
I think I watched a different trailer than the one that you just played, but I like that, from what I can tell from the trailer, it seems to be like an already known occurrence, these zombies, maybe. Because the military is talking about it very glibly. It's like, oh, it's zombies again. And it's like, oh, okay, that's new. I thought this was going to be like a B movie. And then I saw Lupita Nyong'o and I was like, oh, credibility. And I don't know, it looks very funny, but it kind of reminds me of Shaun of the Dead in that this is going to be very funny, but it also has the potential to actually pull an emotional reaction out of me. And I'm very excited to see if it does that. Even if it doesn't, it still looks really funny. So this movie looks like a win-win to me.
Same here. Are you subscribed to Hulu Plus?
I'm going to have to resubscribe.
Okay. Yeah.
When I had to cut expenses, I think Hulu is at the top of the list.
Yeah, same here. Like, it's always like a monthly basis on Hulu and all the other streaming. Like, if anything that's on that I want to watch, I resubscribe to it, basically. Basically the same thing. So my thoughts is similar to yours, almost exactly. I'm a fan of zombie movies too, and everything around it, comedy or even like the horrific ones, like, you know, the old ones of Dawn of the Dead and whatnot. But I really want to see how this movie is. I like the concept of it, of how she's like a musician. So I wonder if there's songs or any musical. In the trailer I watched, there wasn't. So I'm not 100% sure there is. Which I think we watched a different trailer. Did you watch the one without the narration?
I think I watched the one without the narration. I think it was a lot longer. But if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands was definitely a big motif of the second half of the trailer. So
was it them in gray outfits, or it looks like gray outfits or something like that?
Yes, I think.
I think in the end, because I cut the trailer short, in the end, they are, I believe they're singing that song. I saw it, but it's only like a glimpse. It's like 2 seconds in the one I watched. So I didn't really see anything like too musical, but I like that part like a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. The only person I actually know in the trailer is Lupita and Josh Gad, and that's it. I can't tell who else is in it. I like Josh Gad.
Well, same.
Yeah, Josh Gad though doesn't play the typical Josh Gad in this one, where he's like, seems like a jerk, I believe. So I'm wondering how he's going to. And then that's why I'm wondering, it is a musical, he's in it, and I know his background is Broadway and stuff. So I'm hoping there is a little bit of musical element in this movie.
If there is, I imagine it would be closer to like the first act, as like a bit scene.
Yeah, same exact same thing. Any more thoughts?
Lupita looks really good in that yellow dress.
Yes. I wonder if they're going to do the thing like in, you know, some horror movies where typically if it's like the bride, they'll start with like a white dress. And then towards the end, it's all red. So I wonder if they're going to do that motif where, you know, in the beginning, it's all yellow. By the end, it's all red or whatnot, because all the zombies she killed in it.
You know, I love symbolism like that. And I would love for it to be that.
Yep. Same here. So check this out. I actually don't even know when it's coming out. I remember seeing it. Is it on Hulu Plus? So I'm assuming I should have researched this before I even mentioned
it. I know it's coming out this year, and this year is starting to run out of time, so it should be soon.
I'm assuming it's next month because Halloween-ish time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then I'm surprised it's called Little Monsters. So I don't know if you watched the Fred Savage movie Little Monsters with what's his name.
It probably was before my time.
Okay, yeah, it's like an 80s movie. It's the guy, he's in oh god, I forgot his name. Howie Mandel played the monster. So I was, when I heard about this movie like a while ago, I was like wondering what was it going to be. I didn't know it was going to be zombies. I get it, it's little monsters, these little kids. And I was like hoping, I was like, is this a remake or something? And then I was pleasantly surprised. It was like a whole new thing. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's good that it's a zombies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw some other people saying that as well. They thought it was a remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only like one gripe. I was like, oh, maybe a different name, but it fits the movie. So let's move on to the things that we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week. Let's continue the horror thing before I talked about my thing. You watched The Haunting of
The Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House.
Not to be confused with the House on Haunted Hill. Yes. Which is something that continues to trip me up.
Mm-hmm. So how did you told me you rewatched it? So how was your rewatch of the series?
This is my third watch of the series. Wow. I think I watched it twice last month, and then this month I watched it for a third time. And the reason I did that is because every time you watch it, you just notice more and more of the craftsmanship that went into this, like both writing and cinematography wise. There are still, like, I keep seeing screenshots of ghosts that I have yet to see in the actual series. And it freaks me out because the family will be standing there and like there will be a ghost like 20 feet in the background and I just won't see it until I'll be on Tumblr later and I'll see a screenshot and I'm like, oh, I saw a ghost.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about that show too.
So it has high rewatchability, and then also it's just very emotionally cleansing because, in the same vein as what we were talking about with the trailer, of how if it gets an emotional response out of me, I'll like it even more. This series both scared me and then got me to cry a lot, which I always appreciate when a story can do two things like that. And by the end, I've cried all the liquid out of my body, and I always come out like, okay, okay, I'm good, we're fine. But it's about this family, and it's split between the past and the future. And it's about this family, the Cranes. The parents are trying to flip this old house that's rumored to be haunted. And all the past sections are during this one summer of them trying to fix up the house and then sell it. And then all the way in the other half of the show is the future, where the kids are all grown up. One of the parents is dead. And everyone is dealing with the emotional fallout of what happened in the house and how it has started to leak out of the house and come after them. And it's just so well written. Episode six in particular is like a masterwork of just planning and cinematography and writing. And I was like floored when I realized like what they were doing with the episode. And I highly recommend it. It's my new favorite television show.
I'm trying to find what episode five is right now. It's the twin thing, right? Oh, no, that's episode four. It's, oh, okay, that one. I just reading the name.
The two storms.
Yeah, I was like, I was seeing episode, the bent neck lady. That's the other one I saw. But yeah, the two storms. I'm trying to remember. Because everything's like, so we watched that. My wife and I together, like straight. We didn't stop watching it one night. And then we, like you said, we got emotionally invested. And then we were really surprised about how much of it about the family and how it kind of like reminds me of my family and all these other things about it. I was like, man, I can like relate to them. Even though there's like ghosts and how the themes are. It's just I also have a twin too, but it's just the connection of a twin. I can relate a little bit to how he is basically like. But when we were younger, we had like a small connection. When we got older, we kind of like lost it. Like in this, I don't want to like be like supernatural, but there is a weird thing where when he's dreaming something, I'll have the same dream and we'll talk about it and like, how did we end up doing that? So I was invested with that, like just seeing the two twins in this show. And yeah, I really loved it. It was like my favorite show last year. And similar to you, I need to rewatch this soon. And I heard there's a second season, so I'm like really interested of what they will do.
Yes.
Do you know what this is about? Because I heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
It's based on another book. This one isn't by Shirley Jackson. It's The Haunting of Bly House. I know nothing about it, but it's by the same like director and writer and production crew. So like, I'm stoked.
Emotionally devoted like to the family as the first one. Like that's what I liked about it. Like without that family connection, I don't know if I'll like it. And I'm currently reading the Shirley Jackson novel, and it's way different.
My friend actually, she just finished reading it, and she was like giving me updates as she was reading it. And from her account, and I wanted to know if you could corroborate this, the heart of the story was adapted perfectly, even if everything around it was changed.
Kind of. Like, there's no real connection to all the characters. Like, that's what I liked about the show. In the book, it's are you going to read the book? Or
I'm going to eventually. Okay. It's just you know.
Like, the first couple, because I only read the first probably, I have it in front of me right now. So I'm in chapter 3. I just started reading this like a couple months ago. I'm very slow like reading a book. But yeah, I was going in thinking it's about a family, but it's just about a bunch of people connected to this house. And it's interesting because they use the same names, or the show use the same names in the book, but it's just they're not related. And I was like, oh, okay. So in my mind, I'm thinking of something like I can picture them in the show as these characters, but I have to like forget that because they're not the characters at all, and I have to like really not think about the show while reading it. But I'm liking it right now, but it's very different from the show. But yeah, like I said, I'll continue. I'm happy that you're rewatching it though.
Yeah, I it's my new favorite TV show.
Just wondering. So this is not like there's one part. And this is minor spoilers for people who are listening. There's a part in the show where the two sisters are driving, and there's a part that just pops out.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, that came out of nowhere. So we were sitting on the couch and we're like enjoying it, and we're like really, you know, paying attention. And that happened. I literally like froze my mouth and screaming because I was like, "What the heck just happened?" Because that's the most scariest part in the whole show. They didn't do those type of scares until that part. I was like really surprised, and yeah. What was your reaction?
I really liked that part a lot because the rest of the show isn't like that in terms of horror, but in that moment, I've actually done that in the car.
Oh, really?
Where my family has been fighting, and I just screamed, "Stop fighting!" Which is basically what that was.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That is exactly what the sister was trying to have them do. But yeah, like if that ever happened to me, I would probably run down or run off the road too, like they did. And that part what was it?
Go on, sorry.
Oh no! And at the end of that scene, it was very emotional. Like I was like, oh man, that's it released so nicely too after that scene, with them basically crying and whatnot.
Oh yeah, that killed me. Mm-hmm. What I was gonna say was, if anyone listening is just like worried, like, oh, it's horror, I don't know. It's the horror in the show is not like jump scare and like shock and gore. It's a lot more in line with Marble Hornets, if you've ever seen that, where it's just atmosphere and slow build, which I think is a lot more tolerable because I am a wuss and normal shocking gore just unsettles me in like not a fun way. So, but I was, if I was able to make it through the series, like, anyone listening probably can.
Now you have me Googling Marble Hornets, and I see this creepy little face. So I was like, should I be diving into this right now?
Oh, I have the DVD.
Oh, it's a show? Okay.
It was a web series, but it's old, but it was good. It was really good. I'll tell you about it later.
Are the videos like a couple seconds long or something? Because I think I remember seeing something like this, but I never really paid attention to it.
Some of them are like a couple seconds long. Some of them are a whole like 15, 20 minutes long, but it was good. Those were the good old days.
Oh, did the show already end, or the series?
Oh yeah, the series, it wrapped up. Oh god, when did it wrap up? It wrapped up this decade. I know that much.
Oh, well, that's a while then. Or, okay. I saw it. It's 2014. Wow, it ran for 5 years since 2009. Yeah. I've never heard of this, but I'll probably dive into it. I like stuff like that where they're short enough too. Like, I have limited time, but if I can find something that's like, I can just, you know, use, or what am I saying? Like, just... absorb, I guess you could say, the content faster, but yeah,
easy digestible little bites.
We're digestible bites with the zombie theme. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Good callback. Moving on. So I watched something this week. It's an anime. I don't typically watch anime, not a lot of anime. Like, I watch like older stuff, like not even older, like the typical, like mostly more people watch is the Dragon Ball or Sailor Moon and whatnot. But this, I've been watching this show called One Punch Man, and season 2 came out earlier this, or not even this week, like a couple of months ago, probably season 2. And I really like it. It's about a guy named, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Satamana or Satama?
Saitama.
And Genos? I can't say his friend's name.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Okay, so his friend is like a robot named Genos. So it's their continuing adventure of becoming heroes in this world. But this season, they actually introduce a threat. And there's like a... So there's a Hero Academy in season 1. And this season, they introduce the Monster Academy. And then there's a whole bunch of them. So whatever you're thinking about the heroes in season 1... So are you familiar with One Punch Man, like the story?
I'm not with the nitty-gritty details, but I know the general like concept and like some story beats.
Okay.
But I just haven't gotten around to watching it like everything else.
So basically it's a story about this guy named Satama. I'm going to keep saying it like that.
Go on.
Basically, he wants to become a hero, and he becomes a hero, but he doesn't want to become like the best hero. He has this power where if he does fight a monster or a villain, he can kill them with one punch or hurt them with one punch. And yeah, that's his power. Like, he's a very powerful with just a punch. And then people try to... what'd you call that? Oh god, what am I saying? Like challenge him basically every time, almost every other episode, someone tries to challenge him. But similar to like the hero's journey, when they meet someone that's challengeable and they lose, they join Satama in his journey to become a hero. So there's like this, like a whole bunch of different characters, and this one though in season 2. You introduce a whole bunch of other characters, other heroes they don't mention. And in the Hero Academy, they have different ranks for all the way from like the S rank to the, you know, the best, all the way to like D, I believe. And then they show all of them, and then how each of one of them think they're like the best hero, but they know that they're not. So they're trying to rank up and stuff. But in this season, they, like I said, introduce the Monster Academy, and then they have a similar ranking system, we find out, and they're trying to be the best monster or villain in the city. And then there's also another plot of like this other human being that's trying to be the best monster, you could say, even though he's not like a monster, just a regular guy, because he's trying to have revenge on all the heroes. And there's a backstory to him too, and I thought it was really nice and funny. The whole series is funny. I always find the humor, what'd you call it? Like, especially the Satama, is he's very cartoony in a weird way, but also very he has wisdom in this odd way, where even though he is the best, you know, a hero, he finds ways to inspire people to be their best. And that's what I like about the show, that he, even though he's like in it, it's limited where he, the scene he is in, he shines. And yeah, I just like it like that. Yeah, what anime are you into? Are you into anime?
I'm okay. That's a loaded question. I was into anime for a very, very long time, and then I wasn't for a long time, and then I was again, and now I'm in my dry period. But I guess yes, I do love anime a whole lot. I think it's a really great medium.
What was the last anime you watched?
I'm actually trying to get through Vinland Saga, the first core of it, which is an anime about Vikings, which is another super dear to my heart interest. So my two loves combined. So that's pretty much the only anime I've been trying to watch.
Okay.
I've never heard of this. I know if I try to watch more, I'll just spread myself too thin.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm always worried about when I get into stuff, that I'll neglect one of them and then like...
Exactly.
But all the mentions that you're suggesting right now, I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Like Vinland Saga and Marble? What was the thing that you said? Sorry.
Marble Hornets.
Marble Hornets. Okay, that name, I can't think of like... it's two objects or whatever, insect. But it's just not thinking... I'm not thinking about horror when I say that word. But it was like really off guard. Or, you know.
It doesn't roll off the tongue like Vinland Saga or One Punch Man.
Marble Hornets. Okay. For a moment there, I thought you said Marvel's Hornets. I was like, what character is this? I never heard of Hornet before in the superhero. Like Marvel's Hornets. I was like, what are you talking about? And it's, oh, okay. It's a...
I've watched 23 entries and not a single Hornet has arrived, much less a Marble one.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. But yeah. moving on then. Do you have any other... oh, no. Well... yeah. Sorry. We can move on. So moving on to the main discussion. This week's main discussion is We're Live Gold Rush.
Make every shot count. We don't have tons of ammo.
Okay, here they come. Get to the firing holes.
Do you hear that?
Now, hurry up.
The gold. It wants to find it, and it's calling for us.
Gold. There was no better feeling than to know that there's something out there waiting for us, maybe a new life. All I could think about was the gold. And it was like a drug, a dream, an incredible rush.
We're alive. Gold Rush.
So that's a clip from the trailer that was on YouTube. I just clicked it off. We're Live Gold Rush is starring Austin Trace as Alex, Brett Newton as Puck, Tony Reyes as Robin, and Sean Lewin as Muldoon. So I'm just going to mention those four. These most there are other people, but they're like the main focus, you can say, in this series. It's written and directed by Casey Whalen, and it's set 17 years after the main events of We're Live. So if you're listening to this and don't have prior knowledge of We're Live, there's a original story called We're Live, A Story of Survival. It started in 2009, I believe, and it ran for 4, 5, 6 years, I could say. I'm not 100% sure, but it's a long...
It ran for four seasons.
It's a podcast, so you can download it for free. So if you guys want to catch up on that right now and then come back to this main discussion like after like a month or something, I don't know. But...
It's a bunch of hours.
Yes, in the Gold Rush, they mentioned in the very beginning that you don't need to know that. So that's interesting. So if you can just dive into it right away. But it tells the story of the four soldiers that I mentioned and their attempt or mission to retrieve a stash of gold they find. And that's the gist of it that we get right now. Before we start talking about it, a little disclosure. I worked with the Casey Whalen, so... I did little projects with him. So just want to mention that before we talk about it. So like my bias basically with the show.
Your bias is showing.
Yeah, yes, basically. Let's start with you. So Jordy, how long have you been into We're Alive? And what do you think of this episode?
I don't know. I've been into We're Alive, I want to say, since I was about 15, and I'm almost 24 now.
Oh, okay.
Which is an uncomfortable amount of time.
You make me feel old right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, I lived it. How do you think I feel? I listened to all of season one in pretty much one go. When I started listening, I think they were almost done with season two. And I got near the end of season two, and I was like, okay, all right, things are getting kind of real. I need to step back. And I stepped back for a couple months. I came back. I listened all the way to chapter 29, famously. And then I took a multi-year break. And then in 2015, I came back. And by that point, Where Life had already finished. So I was like, I gotta buckle down and I gotta get through this. I need the closure. And I like spent a week doing nothing but like sitting in my room listening to We're Alive. And I got it done. And it was amazing. It's so rare for a series to deliver on like that amount of closure that fast. But wow, that last season, man, it was so good.
Yes, I agree. I remember, so my little history of We're Alive, just real quick, I only found out because one of my friends actually listened to it, and we did a review on this very podcast, like 2009, I would say. You can't find that episode because the site that we have our servers on crashed, and then I didn't actually have backups of those episodes, the computer that was on got destroyed, so there's like a whole like almost 200 whatever episode we're missing. That's why if you ever check our feed, there's like a huge gap and whatnot. But yeah, he basically got me into it, and then he actually dropped it. A whole bunch of my friends dropped this episode, and I just continued on listening to it, and then yeah, that's how my beginnings of We're Alive. So what's your thoughts on the episode, Jordy?
My thoughts on the first episode of Gold Rush, it slapped. It was incredible. And it basically contained everything that I liked about the original series.
Mm-hmm.
It had the humor that I liked. It had the positive character interaction that was so, like, juicy and delicious. It had lore. And it had some of the meta humor that I thought was executed really well in the final season. That... it's kind of bereft in the rest of the series, but it hit every mark that I want out of a We're Alive story in like the first 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, there's still 30 minutes left. Oh, this is going to be so good. I loved it. I loved it so much.
So for my like general thoughts about it. So when they do, so there'll be spoilers. Sorry, we can spoil it too.
Okay.
In the first, like, so the other disclosure, I don't know if I can actually say this because I signed something. Maybe I can. I'm not 100% sure. If not, I'm going to ask Casey. And then if he said it's okay, I'll add this part. I'm just going to tell you. Don't tell Casey. I still told this.
Okay.
So when they actually did the script, I got it a while ago. And then because they wanted me to do a poster. But I was super busy. I said I'll do it, but my life just got caught up with me and stuff like that. So I couldn't do it. And they had someone else do the posters, and you can see now. But I remember reading the first part, like the first dialogue with the four soldiers. And then they're talking about the comedy, zombie, and the Western. And I remember I was reading this at my actual job on my break. And then Casey wrote on the script the what do you call it? The sound, I guess, the whip noise. And it says, the announcer says, Gold Rush, or We're Live, Gold Rush. And I started hell laughing. I was like, oh, it's this type of show. Like, he actually is going to make a comedy, like a real comedy. And after that, I just fell in love with it. And then the script is almost exactly the way he sent it to me. And I was like, man, they kept everything. And just, it's really nice just to hear the voices again of everyone. Even the new characters they introduced. I was like trying to picture them in my head, especially in the scene where I don't remember all the names. I know one is Nick, is one Alex, and I don't know.
It was Nick, Alex Robbins, and then Vera.
Vera, that's her name. Yeah. So when I read that scene, I can just picture them in the arena and everything, or around that area, I believe. And then just for a moment there, I thought. it wasn't a mission. I thought it was a real life, and then he caught it. I was like, oh, it's a mission. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then, yeah, and then you know the rest. But just reading it, those dialogue and just the scene in script form really brought my imagination. It shows me how well Casey got the story and the humor and everything, and how he knows these characters really well at this point, where he can just, you know, when you're just reading them, I just pictured them right away. And yeah, that was a really nice just to see like behind the scenes of that, and just see how his writing process and everything. But yeah, sorry, that's just a little thing. Yeah, you know, just to talk about.
I'm jealous.
Yes. Hopefully I can add this part. So, in it.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. I'll know at least.
Yes. So what parts did you find that was really nice and awesome and cool?
Okay. So I re-listened to those first 5 minutes 3 times because I just, it was so delicious.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree.
I cannot stop thinking about the phrase Michael apologist. I was washing dishes earlier and I was like thinking about it and like had to like lean against the sink. It was just, oh, that line is inspired.
It's very, the whole series too is like very meta, like at this point, because we like, especially the musical part, like if you're not like a fan or not fan, but especially in this, like on Social Network, a lot of people wanted Casey to do like a musical, and then he mentions it in here, and I thought it was really funny, like saying like it's hard, and you can tell like Casey's thought process of like, yeah, he probably can't make a musical, he doesn't know how to, so he says it, you know, through his characters. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, and I really liked how meta that whole scene is with those 5 or 4 soldiers.
Yeah, I think it was Shane Salk who was like, yeah, we had a plan to do like a musical episode, but it fell through. And it's weird how I can know a piece of information and carry it with me for years, and then suddenly Casey will acknowledge that I know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah.
And be like, yeah, I see you. You know about the musical episode. It is just, oh, I feel seen.
I wonder if they were going to get a musical episode, because they are still making the movie in, you know, in the series. So I don't know if they'll find like a tape of a musical with the soldiers.
I would love it.
That would be kind of cool if that happens, and just see the you know, full circle of all the things that the fans wanted. And I wonder who will sing and whatnot. But yeah. So one of the surprising parts of the series is, for me, is that it's not about Nick. Like, I didn't know. I was going in, I thought they'll continue the story of Nick, the son of I'm blanking out here. Can you help me? Saul, right? Saul?
Yeah, Saul and Lizzie's
kid.
Babe.
Yes. For a moment, I thought it would be about him, basically. But it isn't. I was like, oh, it's about Robin. It's like a person. We knew he had a relationship with someone, but I didn't know he had a kid until this series happened. So I was like really wondering how they're going to show it. And it shows like, you know, he lost his mother just recently. And then we know how he lost his father, and then what the struggle he's going through, because he thinks he's not special like the other two, Vera and Nick. And then, now I'm forgetting. Puck basically shows him what his dad's doing and what they were doing basically while they were on their own adventure. And I thought that was nice, like to tie it in with him, with the son. And I'm wondering if he's going to play around with this. I mean, Casey, I'm speaking of, if they're going to go back and forth with future or present and past, like to, show a connection somehow. And then we know, there's like a little things. It feels like we'll get to know like how he meets Vera. We don't get that, right, in the original one?
She's mentioned, I think. And Alex is also, like, pointed out by a character. Like, a character, I think, literally points to Alex. And is like, yeah, that's Robbins' kid.
In the original
series?
So,
like, from the moment he was mentioned, I'm like, God, please do something with these characters.
Oh yes. So that's towards the end, right? The epilogue of the original
Yeah,
one?
It's okay. In the last, like, 10 minutes.
Okay. I think I remember. But they don't have voices, right? They don't really say anything but they just mention by name. Okay. I think I remember that part. But yeah, what do you think about that? Like how they're paying attention to Nick?
I think Casey is actually planning. I think I saw like a screen cap or something from his Twitter. Like it's something called We're Alive Next Generation or something similar to that, I think. And I assume that's going to be more like focused on Nick.
Okay. I wonder if it's going to be like, are you a fan of Star Trek? Like, did you watch?
I know of Star Trek The Next Generation, and I know of it, and I know some stuff.
Okay.
But
play off of that, like whole different crew, and then, you know, but I'm wondering if he's going to use
what
that
if name? What if, because Gold Rush is the zombie western, what if The Next Generation is the zombie invasion?
Oh, okay, I thought you'd say zombie sci-fi for a moment.
Same thing. Yeah, yeah. The zombie alien invasion.
Maybe we get like another backstory or of the zombie, how they actually came
this
here.
One's about Carl.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Like Casey. I mean, Casey can do anything right now. People are like, oh, okay, that's true about the zombies. We'll just like eat it up, basically.
I mean, they're his. He can make the rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else? What else do you want to talk about?
Oh my God. Can we talk about the museum scene?
Oh, yes. So another thing, I read this in the script and then I was like, my jaw dropped when I was reading it too. And then when I originally wanted to make the poster, it was going to be those items to just like tease about what's everything. I mean, they describe it and we know those items so well. And then, yeah, what was your thoughts about the when they mentioned everything?
That whole scene to me just screamed, wasn't We're Alive good? And you're right, it was really good. And I was just like, so happy during that whole scene when they're pointing out the original Mata gun and like the shards of a gun. Mm-hmm. And just pointing out all these objects, and it's like, yeah, here are the original journals, the original spiral bound notebooks that we used. And I was just like, oh my God. Like it fleshed it all out more for me than whole four seasons. More than that last, like, 15 minutes of the first series. Because now it's like, oh, yeah, this is the future. These are, like, artifacts now. And these are, like, historical items that deserve to be in a personal museum. And it was just like, oh, just all the references. And it was just so good. It was just so... It was like coming home, it almost felt like.
I like it because it shows there's a history. And we don't see that a lot, like in zombie fiction. I don't know if you like read or watch The Walking Dead. They don't acknowledge stuff like that. So it was really nice to see stuff like that. Even like other like zombie fiction where if we're still, if there's like a peacetime or whatnot, like the one I'm thinking about is, I don't know if you watched Land of the Dead, George Romero's Land of the Dead with John Leguizamo.
I haven't seen it, but I've like read about it a lot. So I kind of got a gist of like what it is.
That takes place like in the, not future, but in our time. He's like the original takes place in the 70s, but it shows like what we're doing now. And then, but they don't acknowledge of the past. So it was nice to see like this fiction acknowledge the past so well and just remind everyone who was there in the beginning, like, oh, remember this, remember that. And also they add like the Lord of the Rings thing with Bert.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah. Like, when did he mention that? I think vaguely, I don't know. I kind of remember something with that, but I'm maybe I'm just thinking in my head, but
he likes movies, but I'm guessing somebody just like brought him home a box set of Lord of the Rings, the extended edition, like for one Christmas. And then when they said he like had watched it and he had a big Lord of the Rings phase, I thought that there was going to be a suit of armor just on a stand.
That's how I was picturing it too. I was like, did he just find all these things and just put it together with Shirley, basically?
You have my sword and my bow and my Glock.
Yeah, yeah. That would be kind of cool scene to draw. you...
I'll get on it immediately.
Yes, that'd be kind of cool to look at. But yeah, that scene is really magical, just the way if you're a fan and everything.
Even Vera pulling out the sword was like, oh my god, yes, it's all coming together.
Mm-hmm. And then right away you think like a sword and who's this, and then you put two to two together, and right away I thought it was it's Constance, right? Or that's her, the is that the character name?
Chinwe, CJ.
Okay, CJ, yes. I think I'm thinking about the actress name. Constant Wu or something. Or never mind. Sorry. I'm thinking about someone else, I think. What else? I'm trying to think of what else. Because I listened to it. How many times did you listen to the episode?
I've listened to it twice.
Okay, same here.
The day it came out and then earlier today.
Yeah, almost the exact same thing. I'm trying to remember the back half of it. Oh, so yeah. So you see them do the little scene, the four soldiers, and then they find. So when Casey was teasing this, he was mentioning that special guest, Danny Trejo. And I thought he had like a bigger scene or a bigger part. And
it was a cameo.
Yeah, it was really a cameo, like a really short cameo. And like probably tops five lines or I would say. But I was really surprised, and you knew right away that's Danny Trejo talking. But I thought it was funny that when they mentioned this like a while, like 2016, I thought it would be like a big part, but it was like a short cameo. It was a nice cameo from him. But yeah, that scene right away, I was like, oh, it's him. It's Danny Trejo. And I thought it was funny that he just had like a cameo in it.
Christy Carlson Romano gets a bigger part.
Who's that? Sorry.
That's the other big special guest. You would know her, or maybe you don't, but she was like more of like a Disney Channel sort of voice actress. She voiced Kim Possible.
Okay, no.
Which is what most people know her from, but she's a sweetheart. She's got a nice voice. So I hope she actually does get a sizable role in this.
Okay. So I think in the We're Alive, I'm like looking on the main site. I'm trying to see if she plays a part. Because so the old cast is in here. You hear Michael, CJ, who else? There's someone else, right?
You hear Pegs and you hear Saul.
Yes, Saul. That's the other one. Who else? That's all. You don't hear Bert, right? He's not in this timeline or at all.
This is between three and season three and season four. So
we haven't probably heard them yet. He shows up. Yeah, he should be showing up if the timeline is correct. But yeah, just looking forward to that to see everyone else. If anyone's interested, if you go on weirdlive.com, they actually show like the cast of the four soldiers. And then I know how, what's his name? Tony, not Tony. I was thinking about his character name. He's always in the Weird Live stuff. I can't see his
Tony.
Tony. I forgot his last name. I was trying to find his last
Tony
name.
Tony Ray?
Yes, I think so. Billy, yeah. He's I just remember him because he was the main announcer at one point, like in their live streams a lot, right?
Yeah, because I watched every episode of Apartment 2C, obviously. He was always the host.
Okay. So I kind of dropped out because they did it really late and I can't stay that up late sometimes. So I was like, so I had to make a choice. How far did they go into that? Did they do every episode?
I don't remember. They didn't get to season two, if I remember. In Apartment 2C, at least, they didn't get to season two.
Okay.
But with Real Life Archive, they're like deep into season two. They're like, I think nearly done with the second season.
Okay. That's good that they're continuing on. Anything else you want to add, Jordy?
I was genuinely surprised to hear Michael's voice.
I know he's not on location, right? He's like the few actors he has to call in.
He lives in New Orleans, the last I heard. He might still be there. But it actually took me, like when Peg spoke, it took me like a line and a half to realize, oh my god, that's Peg's. But the second Michael spoke, I was like, there he is. Like, instantly, I knew that was him. And it was like, oh, Casey, he found Jim Gleason's number in the back of his jacket. he found his number. And, like, I hadn't heard Pegs, Michael, and Saul saying new lines in what felt like years. So it was just genuinely a treat to hear them again.
Yep. I agree. Like, just to hear them, the banter of those three was really nice. And just remembering their like chemistry, and they still have it. Like when you hear Pegs and when Skull, but he makes basically Michael's like, oh, we have a whole bunch of stuff to do, and Pegs like, what do we have to do at 10 o'clock at night? And then you know, Michael just has no response. Like, oh yeah, you're probably right. Like,
I also like that Michael's not a good actor. I mean, none of them are, but I just like that Michael especially sucks at acting.
But yeah, it was just really nice to hear their voice again. So what else? That's all I can think of. I'm trying to think like, the you know, when they... So if you go on their Twitter feed, they actually have the gold. I mean, of course, it's not real, but they have Goldie, I think they call it. The star.
Just lead painted yeah, just, gold, yes, I think.
The star of Gold Rush right now. So it was nice to... I mean, they do a lot of Foley work. You can see that stuff too in the past, like on their... I believe in their YouTube page, they show a lot of Foley work. And it's nice to, like, they actually use... They made something to show you, like, oh, this is the gold thing that they probably use the sound for and everything. Yeah, I thought it was neat.
Casey takes a lot of pride in his sound design and all the technical work that goes into it. It's very inspiring.
Yes, it is. Like, just to see him, and then he does like classes and stuff. I was like, man, where does he find all this time? Because
where does he find all this stuff?
Yes, all these things, and I was like, oh. I'm just amazed at how much like stuff he has in his mind, and he has a nice creative outlet, especially with the podcast, that he can just, you know, generate all that stuff. What else? I'm just like looking through their Twitter page to see like anything we can talk about. I don't see anything. What else? Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the season. I'm happy it's next week. We don't have to wait 2 weeks like before, right? It was like 2 weeks. We had to wait.
Yeah, it would be... A chapter would come out 1 week at a time. It would be every week. And then between chapters, I think it would be 2 weeks. It's been literal years since the first series, and I had to remember the schedule, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
And, I remember those long waits. So I remember watching the first and second season together, because I came in towards the beginning of the second season, or the end of the first season. And I remember I caught up, and then I was like, what do I do now? And then when they released it, I was like, oh, I have to wait. I was like, oh, I didn't know I have to wait this long.
Whole tone has shifted. Yeah, now yes. I have to wait for it?
Yes, and then I was like, oh, wow. And then it's nice, though, because I end up re-listening to everything, because I want to hear the complete story, especially when they release a chapter. And then I'll go back to listen to all three of them back to back to back to get everything. And yeah, there's moments where it connected me, or I got more emotional because I re-listening to it with the context of the next episode. And yeah, that was nice. You're making me remember all the nice times I had with the show. Hopefully I have nice times with the show this season too. That's it.
I mean, we can't really comment on, like, the plot of Gold Rush yet until, like, more of it comes out. Because most of this first episode was just, like, just feel-good, lighthearted times, except for the part about the dead mom. But, no, I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, real life is good. I just remembered.
Yeah. And then, like, if you listen to the raw or the old, like, first episode, like, the Foley work is, like, not as good, but just now they're so well, like you know, like in this episode when Vera, like I mentioned, and Alex and Nick were trapped in that area, you knew like, oh, Vera's separated, because you hear the voices in the other side of the wall of Nick and Alex. So I was like, man, this is so good still, like especially if you listen to the episode with headphones that are either noise canceling or just up all the way, I guess you could say. Like I do, I don't have noise canceling, so just hearing it just with, you know, with two left and right, not just one earpiece on your ear, it's just really nice to hear everything all together.
It truly is a theater for the mind.
Yes
It's oh
yeah. I think we have any predictions. Do you think the Maulers will show up? Do you think any like those people will
okay. Don't get me started on this. They said it wasn't the Maulers by glancing at Danny Trejo. But boy, wouldn't it be crazy if the Maulers were just holed up in Fort Knox? What if the family is just holed up in Fort Knox. What's the game plan then? What do we do about that?
We know something. I know Casey always mentions the family, and then we get a little bit, I believe, in Lockdown, right? Like, there is a little mention of what those people were doing. So now I'm wondering if those people... So I'm sorry, I forgot all the people in Lockdown, especially the ending where they...
Don't worry, me too.
Yeah, especially the ending where there's like a whole different group there now. So I'm wondering if Casey will try to tie them in. But they also mentioned, like, in this series that you don't have to have that past knowledge. So we have to get reintroduced to these characters again. So it would be kind of jarring for, like, people like us listening to it. And I was like, oh, we kind of know these people, but not really. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they'll...
I don't expect it to be a super family lore-heavy story. But if it was, what a surprise.
I hope it just keeps with the concept of the comedy. And I know, like you mentioned, of Alex's mother. So hope that's the only like dread we get. And most of it is the comedy between the soldiers. And we know, you know, they don't survive, most of them. So it's nice just to hear them all. The banter between all four of them is really nice to hear again. And not just, you know, we just get the happy moments with them again.
It is nice to have like a genuinely mostly lighthearted We're Alive story, because that was always like some of the most memorable parts of the original series.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's it. We can just move on to the outro, I guess. So where can they find your work, Jordy?
They can find me at urban-caravan@tumblr.com. .tumblr.com. Don't put the at sign, it won't work. And I haven't uploaded there recently, but I should definitely try to. I'm also not active on Twitter really, so if you want to follow me anywhere, just go hit the follow and hope that I appear. And I'll probably come bearing real live art soon.
Oh, cool. Like the samurai. Or not the samurai. The
it was like CJ with her sword, yeah. Riley with her bow.
No, the Burt armor thingy that you mentioned in the Lord of the Rings thing that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Just draw that. No, just kidding.
Number one with a star next to it. Yeah. I'll do that one first.
So you can find us at Twitter at TFA Now, or like us on Facebook at The Freaking Awesome Podcast, or just The Freaking Awesome, I think. And you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and on Google Play. Contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. And yeah, so you can find me at the most organized Twitter feed of 2000XX at Abaya Arts. Sorry. And I always find it funny I put that, but oh, that's just me.
I've seen it. You do. It's so organized. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, you.
I don't even use capitalization on mine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, sometimes I don't too. So, yeah. You can find us there. I think that's it. I am John Abaya.
I am Jordy Shepherd.
And that was The Freaking Awesome Podcast.